And open your Bibles, Acts chapter number 1. What a blessing it is to be where the Lord is, amen. It's a gift to the church when God sends God's people to a church. And we are grateful, amen. He could send them anywhere, church, but He chose Victory. That's a blessing. Well, I'm thrilled to be here, and we love being in our church. Of course, I've been working on a house. I'll be glad when it's over. And maybe the Lord let me get back out on the road more. But we've been here a lot. I told a preacher the other day, I said, normally I'm gone 3-4 months at a time. I said, but it ain't been that way lately. And Lord knows all about it. And He'll take us out when He's ready. But I'm looking forward to getting that place done and getting back on the road and being where the Lord wants us, unless He's got something different for us. Of course, we're always open to that, whatever He wants. But it's a privilege to be here. We sure are grateful for our church, love our church, and good to have friends here and see people here and men of God here. And I've been looking forward to Jubilee. Amen. Acts chapter number 1, I'll begin reading down there in verse number 1. I'm not one that has a lot of words to say, but I'll just get right into the Bible, amen, read the Scripture to you and try to preach something. And Lord knows there's a lot better men here that could preach a whole lot better. But sometimes it's hard to articulate or say what you want to say. And you don't necessarily know how to say things. And so you put things on paper and we'll see what happens, amen. And if it makes sense, praise God. If it don't, amen, we got tomorrow. Thank the Lord for that. All right, Acts chapter number 1, verse number 1. The Bible said, "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which He was taken up, after that He, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen, to whom also He showed Himself alive, after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, ye have heard of Me, for John truly baptized with water," watch what it says, "but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto Me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight." Let me pray. Father, thank You, Lord, for how the Spirit of God has been here this evening. Lord, I thank You for it since in the presence of the Holy Ghost. Dear Father in heaven, we know that it's not that way in the many places that we go to around this country and even throughout the world. But Father, I pray that, dear God, the damnable devil will never be allowed to put his foot back in this place, Lord, and try to hinder it or destroy it, Lord God, or twist up people and grieve the Holy Ghost. But Father in heaven, I pray that the sweet Holy Ghost of God would do a great work here in this place. And Father, I pray the Spirit of God would do a mighty work even tonight and throughout this week with the preachers that are coming and, Lord, the people that are coming. And God, I pray that You'd meet with us each and every single night. And God, we need Your help and Your power. Father, I pray that, Lord, Your people, God's people, Lord, those that are here tonight and those that will come, I pray that, Father, they take their heart and mind off of the things of the world. And God, they'd open their heart and mind, Lord Jesus, to the things of God. And Lord, You begin to move mightily, Lord, amongst us. And that the hand of God would fall upon this place, and the sweet Holy Ghost of God would do whatever His will is in the heart of every single individual. Father, we sure need Your help now in preaching. God, You know I can't do this without You. And I pray, Lord, for Your touch and Your power and the exact words that You'd have me to say. We do love You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. And Brother Hart preached a wonderful message this morning, and we love to hear Brother Hart preach, and we love his family. And I thank God for the message that he preached. He's preaching, of course, this morning about the Spirit of God being in you, and the friend, you being saved and knowing that he's there, of course. And tonight I want to preach along the same lines, maybe just a little bit different. And I want to preach on this title I've entitled, The Holy Ghost is More Powerful. Now, may I say to you tonight, church, that the Holy Ghost of God is not a spook. The Holy Ghost of God is not a myth. The Spirit of God is not a freak show. Amen? The Holy Ghost of God is not a lesser God, if you would, of the triune God. I like what Brother Roger Henson said. He said he ain't Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but instead it's Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen? They're on the same level. And the Bible said down there that these people of God, God's people, were assembled together. And the Bible said over there, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now God told them disciples there, he said, hey, you're going to wait. And I want you to wait here until ye be endued with power. Now I want to say to you, dear friend, if God thought it was important enough for the disciples to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God, would you not think it was important enough for us as God's church to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God? I say to you, friend, the Bible speaks of men that were full of the Holy Ghost. It said Stephen was full of faith and the Holy Ghost. It said that Barnabas was full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. It said seven men were chosen to wait on tables. It says that they were full of faith and the Holy Ghost. When you read the Word of God, wherever you find faith, you find the Holy Ghost. And wherever you find the Holy Ghost, you find faith. And may I say to you, friend, I believe in the dependence of the Holy Ghost of God. I don't want to try to work the ministry without the Holy Ghost. I don't want to try to raise my family without the Holy Ghost. I don't want to try to do anything without the Holy Ghost. Amen. How are you going to live your life as a Christian? How are you going to serve the Lord like you're supposed to if you have no touch of God on your life? You have no power of God on your life. May I say to you, dear friend, you will fail and you'll never be able to do it. There was old-time preachers of the past that were full of the Holy Ghost. We read about them in books. You hear about them, friend. I'll give you some of them. Men like D.L. Moody and R.A. Torrey and A.W. Tozer and Charles Spurgeon, Billy Sunday and Harry Ironside and R.G. Lee and B.R. Lakin and Harold Seitler and Oliver B. Green and Lester Roloff and Jack Howes and Dwight Talmadge and J. Harold Smith and Sam Jones and J. Frank Norris and Lee Robertson and G.B. Vick and Bob Jones and Dr. Rice and Dr. Malone and several other men. And when we read those names, man, our hearts go back to those men and we think about, yeah, man, those are some men of God. They were full of power and the Holy Ghost of God used them. And I say tonight, thank God for the men of God that were full of the Holy Ghost of God. But may I say to you tonight, friend, I'm not interested, nor should our church be interested in MacArthur, or Warren, or Olstein, or Benny Hinn, or Hybels, or Hagee, or any other of their cronies. Instead, may I say to you, friend, we ought to be interested in the Holy Ghost, nor should we be interested in the purpose-driven church. Amen. We should not be interested in the Rick Warren where he says, get rid of old-time religion and throw the old hymn music out and bring in the new neo-evangelical style of music and worship. We ought not have none of that part in our heart of life of no way. The reason that this crowd that I just read about you wants you, they want you to use their styles. You hear me? They want you to use their methods, their psychology, their doctrine, their way of worship is because they don't know the Holy Ghost of God. Now you say, preacher, what's the big deal? Well, I say to you, dear friend, there's churches all over this country and even throughout the world and in this town that are headed the wrong direction. And the reason they're headed the wrong direction, friend, is because they're running after a bunch of liberals just like I just named you. And I say to you, friend, they don't know the Holy Ghost. And many of the so-called fundamental independent Baptists, they don't know him either. For if they did, they'd quit reading after that crowd. They quit trying to learn from that crowd. They quit looking to that crowd, dear friend. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. And I say to you, it is a privilege to feel the Holy Ghost's presence in the house of God. Let me give you a short history, if I can, on Baptist fundamentalism in America. Sam Jones, Dr. Bob Jones Sr., George Shuler were not Baptist fundamentalists, but they were known as the fighting fundamentalists. They were fundamentalists that believed in the power of the Holy Ghost of God. These four men are known to have organized fundamentalist Baptists in America, where J. Frank Norris with the Baptist Bible Fellowship, Dr. Bob Ketchum with the General Association of Regular Baptists, Dr. Myron Cedarholm with the Conservative Baptist Association, and Dr. Lee Robertson with the Southwide Baptist Fellowship. In relation to Baptist fundamentalism, stay with me, in America, we can trace our roots back to J. Frank Norris and Dr. Lee Robertson. Many men since then had separated themselves from the Southern Baptist Convention because of different reasons. Some were money, some were evolution, the premillennial coming of Christ, the lack of evangelism or standards or ecclesiastical separation and personal separation. But today, we call ourselves independent, fundamental, separated Baptists. And I throw on the end of that, who believes and stands for old-time religion. Now, may I say to you, friend, there is independent, fundamental, separated Baptists that are only separate ecclesiastical. There's a slew of them around here. But I say to you, there are some that are separate ecclesiastical and personal. Now, I believe some of the old-time independent, fundamental, separated Baptists believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. I believe they don't believe in the lifestyle crowd, the neo-worship, the psychology, and all the methods. But in America, at one time, are you hearing me? The Baptists used to rank 61%. Now, they're in the single digits. There's a reason for that. They got away from what the church in the book of Acts taught us. Which is the power, are you hearing me? Which is the power of the Holy Ghost of God. Look here, church, there's more to coming to church than just coming here and sitting and leaving. You ought to come filled. You ought to leave filled. May I say to you, friend, you can thank or blame, whatever you want to do, Billy Graham for destroying a part of fundamentalism and bringing in today what is known as neo-evangelicalism, which the devil is using to try to destroy old-time fundamentalists. And I'm going somewhere. But may I say to you, your MacArthur's, your Warren's, your Osteen's, your Hybels, that crowd, they don't care anything about old-time religion. They don't care anything about fundamentalism and separation, nor do they care about true biblical power of the Holy Ghost of God. So I say to you, why would we want to learn from them? Why would you read from them? Why would you have one of their books? Why would you even care what they're doing? May I say to you, friend, here's what our heart should be. I'm an old-time, independent, separated, Bible-believing Baptist because I believe the Bible is the Word of God. And I believe it was given by the inspiration of God. And I oppose any liberal theology and lifestyle that is in many of our churches today. I also look to and depend 100% on the Holy Ghost and His power. Let me ask you a question. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Nothing wrong with it. Amen? There's nothing wrong with that. The old timers believed that way, and it worked for them. It'll work for us. I say to you, dear friend, every God-believing church, every church that believes, friend, like we ought to, that we believe, they ought to throw the neo-thinking out of their churches, out of their minds, get back to the old-time way of depending and looking to the Holy Ghost. Who cares what that crowd's doing? Let's do what Christ told us to do. That's worked hard for Him. Look to Him, depend on Him, and trust in Him. Old-time religion is religion that looks to and depends on the Holy Ghost. And here's what Jesus said. He said, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." We don't need ideas from the liberals. We need the Holy Ghost. Let me give you a few things about the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost is more powerful than lifestyle evangelism. Now, some of you may not know what that is, but let me say this. Many that believe in that watered-down doctrine are those that do not have the guts to stand in front of someone and tell them about Jesus. That same crowd will have nothing to do with confrontational soul winning. They think their job is this: live good until somebody wants what you got. For now, that ain't going to get it. In other words, I'll go to the lake with you and I'll mix bathe with you at the beach, but I'm going to show you what kind of Christian I am. That's their heart. I'll dress like you do, and I'll act like you do, but I'm going to try to show you what kind of Christian I am. I'll go to the bar with you, but I won't drink because I'm going to show you what kind of Christian I am. I'll laugh at your dirty jokes, but I won't tell any because I want to show you what kind of Christian I am. I'll watch the same movies you watch. I don't want to offend you, but I'm going to try to show you what kind of Christian I am. Listen, friend, that kind of thinking straight out of hell. They ain't got time to watch you or anybody else be good. I say to you, friend, they could die and go to hell today. People don't get under conviction just by you. They get under conviction through the Word of God and the Holy Ghost. We don't need to point them to us. We need to point them to Christ. God never said the gospel wouldn't offend, but He did say it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And I believe men ought to see your good works. They ought to glorify your Father which is in heaven. But the Bible said over there, He said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And listen to what He said. And ye shall be what? Witnesses. The very first thing that God said you'd be after you received His power is a witness. Old time confrontational soul winning still works. The Bible said the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. He that winneth souls is wise. The Bible said they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Billy Sunday said soul winning is a definite effort to lead a definite person to accept a definite Savior at a definite time. And the lifestyle evangelism crowd falls in the same category of the Calvinistic crowd, and that is they're too lazy and don't have enough guts to tell somebody about Jesus and their need for salvation. Somebody says, well, why be a soul winner? Because of the worth of their soul. That's why. Why be a soul winner? Because of the reality of hell. Because Christ died for their sins. Because of the empty life they'll live without Jesus. Because of what's been prepared for them. Because of the rewards that you'll receive, and so on. And when Christ was here, He came to seek and to save that which was lost. But now He uses you and I to seek and to save that which is lost. It's your job and it's my job to go tell others of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Ghost still works, friend. The Holy Ghost still works through the soul winner that is involved in soul winning. And there's men all over the country. There's people everywhere in different places and different churches trying to figure out a new way. The old way is this: get filled with God. The Holy Ghost is more powerful than lifestyle evangelism. Number two, the Holy Ghost is more powerful than the contemporary era. I mean today's modern music and worldly worship. Now, friend, if you don't know exactly what goes on, all you got to do, if you got one, if you got a TV, I wouldn't have one if I was you, but if you got one, turn that thing on every now and then and look at some of these so-called modern churches today and watch how they act. The foolishness that goes on. This contemporary crowd wants you to, they want you to read the words off of a screen, throw all the hymn music out, read some kind of chorus over and over again, friend. Throw their hands in the air, throw their head back with their eyes closed, worship in the flesh by getting caught up in the moment of singing something over and over again until they get connected to the rhythm and the beat. May I say to you, it's out of hell. The Bible said, let all things be done decently and in order. The contemporary realm cares more about the crowd than they do the soul. The contemporary realm cares more about the feelings of the flesh than they do the Holy Ghost. The contemporary realm cares more about entertainment than they do preaching and having revival. That crowd cares more about bringing attention to their voice than bringing attention to Christ. That crowd cares more about the feel-good service than a service filled with the Holy Ghost. That crowd will do whatever it takes to get others to follow them so that they can have a large ministry, make a name for themselves, put their name in lights. But I say to you, friend, the Holy Ghost is more powerful than the contemporary music and worship era. Church, hear me now. You don't ever have to pull the world styles of music and worship in to see growth. There's preachers everywhere twiddling their thumbs, racking their brains, reading after a bunch of liberals that aren't even saved, and they're trying to figure out how in the world can we get a crowd. Let me tell you how you get a crowd. You throw the world out of your home, you throw it out of your church, you throw it out of your life, and you get the Holy Ghost involved in everything, and then you be content with what He gives you. Get back to the Holy Ghost singing is what many churches do. I love it here. I tell people that come, I say, hey, come over here and visit Freedom and enjoy. And the singing's worship, wonderful, and they worship God and they sing loud. And I say we ought to get back to the Holy Ghost shouting, Holy Ghost aisle running, Holy Ghost worship, Holy Ghost invitation. It worked for the old timers. It'll work for us. The contemporary crowd today wants you to play the wild music, dance around on a platform and in an auditorium with their praise teams, close their eyes, float off into a dream world, fall out the altar, shed a few tears, and they call that worship. Let me ask you a question. If they call that worship in these churches, if they're calling their worship service, how come they got to go in their buildings and paint their ceilings black? Why do they dim the lights down? That's what bars do. Paint the ceilings black, dim the lights down. Put on the juke music. You know what I'm talking about? And they call that worship. Jesus said in Matthew 4:10, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. He said over there in John 40:24, God is the Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth, not the flesh. Worship means to do reverence or homage to a superior being. Worship is the overflow of a grateful heart under the sense of divine favor. Worship is the outpouring of a soul at rest in the presence of God. Worship is the uprising of the heart that has known the Father as a giver, the Son as a Savior, the Holy Ghost as the indwelling Spirit. Worship is the occupation of the heart with God Himself. And the Bible said that the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Many churches today call worship service. It's not a worship service at all. They're either deader than a funeral home service or a graveyard service, and then people are just enduring being there. Or the opposite end of the spectrum, they're wilder than a country music concert with half-naked men and women on the platform with wild music. Here's what happened, church. Many churches became dead because of the sin that was in the church. And it grieved the Holy Ghost. Are you hearing me? And they continued on for years without the Holy Ghost. And they went on through the motions. And then people got tired of the many church services that were dead and boring. And they began leaving and starting their contemporary churches. That's full of the world's dress styles, music styles, fleshly styles, fornication, adultery, sexual sins by the droves. And their logo is tired of going to a boring church. Remember that? Remember they put that all over their signs? Let me say to you, dear friend, it's not boring when the Holy Ghost is here. The Bible said upon this rock, He said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the tool that Christ uses to build His church is you and I. And I say to you, friend, we are the ones that are supposed to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. Where are the preachers and the mamas and daddies and the men and women and the children, friend, and the kids that say, I'd like to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. Revelation 3:16 said, so then because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. You know, it's amazing how you got churches today. Some are on fire. Some are doing great things for God. And you hope it stays that way. And then there's some that just kind of going through the motions. Every now and then something good will happen. And there's some, they just ain't doing nothing. God said, if you're that lukewarm crowd, He said, I wish you was hot or cold. I'd rather you be doing nothing or doing something instead of just going through the motions of show. And God is sick of the do-nothing dead churches in America. And some people would maybe have the idea, preacher, you know, it'd be nice if we just, let's just float along, you know, no more work. Not too much. Don't start another ministry. I don't need no help. No, just let me be. Just let me just come to church and just kind of float. You know, God says that's lukewarm. The church ought to be on fire for God. God's people ought to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And if I didn't think the power of God was on me, friend, and the Holy Ghost or on the ministry that I was involved in, then I would get together with God and I'd pray. And I'd say to you, if you got to fast, then you better fast. But we got to come clean with God, and our church and the churches around the country and the churches around the world need to be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost of God. I know that this message ain't easy to preach. I understand that some people could just care less. You can almost tell. It's like water on a duck's back. It just goes. But the Holy Ghost is more powerful than lifestyle evangelism. The Holy Ghost is more powerful than contemporary. Let me say this. The Holy Ghost is more powerful than psychology preaching.
Come on.
Ain't it something how you got so many preachers today that are just... It's almost like they're sissies. I mean, there's one thing that, friend, I can't stand, preacher, is to watch a preacher preach like a sissy. I mean, they smile perfectly. You know what I mean? No, they don't want none of that. They don't want to offend anybody. They don't want to say anything controversial. They don't want to make anybody feel bad about their sin. They don't want to preach on doctrine because they don't want any division. Matter of fact, they got soft hands and a soft voice and a soft touch. And there's a crowd out there, friend. No, we don't want to offend anybody and we don't want to do anything wrong. Just like Osteen said to Larry King, he said he wouldn't preach on hell because he didn't want to offend nobody and he didn't want to preach on doctrine because it divides. You know, but let me ask you a question. What's he going to say to that crowd when he looks set them in hell? Why would you call yourself a preacher if you ain't going to preach? Why in the world would a man not get up and stand and say, "Thus saith the Lord"? Amen. Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, the Bible said the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness.
Amen.
Let me tell you why they got no... Why they got so many psychology preachers today? They ain't no touch on them. They got to do something. God forbid they pray and get right with God or get saved and get filled with the Holy Ghost. Let me say to you, dear friend, I wouldn't call myself a preacher if I wasn't going to preach. And I understand that everybody has different preachers that they like. And everybody has different styles. And I know I've heard preachers get up here and talk. And man, they talk quietly. And God uses them. And God fills them. And man, the altars are full. And you see people saved. Then you get another guy up here. He don't know how to talk. And he stumbles and he slumbers around. And he yells and he sweats and he struggles. And maybe God might use him. But the difference is this, dear friend. It doesn't matter maybe how that individual preaches, but what matters is he filled with the Holy Ghost of God? The Bible said, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." You know, there's a lot of good men that's been spoiled through philosophy. That philosophy means attitude, viewpoint, idea, thinking, way of life, values, or beliefs. And so today, they preach their viewpoint, their ideas, their thinking, their values, and their beliefs. And I say to you, dear friend, what's wrong with that Bible? What's wrong with just picking up that Bible and saying, "Thus saith the Lord"?
Amen.
Amen. You know, I know we don't lift up men and all that kind of stuff, but I can give honor to whom honor is due. And I thank the Lord for our preacher. He preaches that word, Bible, line upon line, precept upon precept. He gives us that book, amen. He teaches the word of God. And you never know when it's going to happen. He might come up here one day, not even open his Bible, and for the next 10 minutes, bust our hide, amen, and try to think of anything he can find wrong with everybody, and then say, "Okay, now open your Bible. We're going to do something." Thank God for that. Thank God for a man of God that's willing to stand and preach that Bible to you and your family. 2 Peter 2:1-2 said, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you." Listen to what it says. "Who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many," here it is, "and many shall follow their pernicious ways." Is that not what's happening today, friend? Is that not what's happening to that crowd out there, that they're so liberal and ecumenical and the emerging church and this grace walk garbage and all the other filth that they can conjure up and think up? You got all these people that have no knowledge of the Word of God that are just falling to that crowd by the thousands and by the hundreds of thousands, and they're dying and going to a devil's hell. If there's anything our churches need today, are you hearing me? We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. Let me say to you quickly and I'll be done. The Holy Ghost is more powerful than lifestyle evangelism, the contemporary era, psychology preaching, and I'll give you this and I'll be done. The Holy Ghost is more powerful than men's methods. You know what God promised the church in Acts 1:8? He said, "Ye shall receive power." That's a promise. He said, after the Holy Ghost comes to you. God promised us His power. We don't need men's methods. The great problem that we face today is men don't believe the old time way will work. People don't believe the Holy Ghost will help them win souls. They think they're going to do it in their own power. People don't believe, friend, the Holy Ghost will manifest Himself in their services. They don't believe the Holy Ghost will help them in their preaching. They don't believe the Holy Ghost will help them build their Christ church. They don't believe the Holy Ghost will help them with their problems in the ministry. Therefore, they turn to men's methods. They talk about the Holy Ghost, but their faith is in methods, not the Holy Ghost. Our preachers and our churches have turned their hearts away from trusting, believing, and depending on the Holy Ghost of God. And now they're looking to and depending on the methods of sinful men. Now pay attention. Children of Israel took their eyes off of God. And they looked to the world, and the church has done the same thing. I don't miss this. They looked at the heathen's methods. Are you hearing me? They looked at the heathen styles. Let me say that again. They looked at the heathen styles. And they looked at their gods. And they looked and watched the way they worship. And they learned from the world. And I say to you, dear friend, that the old timers went to church believing God. And that God and the Holy Ghost would take care of the souls of men. That's why you hear the stories of those that would tremble under conviction. When's the last time you've seen that? That's why you'd hear the stories of those that would crawl to an old-fashioned altar under conviction. That's why you'd read and hear about the stories of those that said they thought that they were slipping off into hell and they ran to get saved. When's the last time you saw that? But today they look to formalism instead of the Holy Ghost. They look to the order of service instead of the Holy Ghost ordering the service. They look to the traditions of men and the church instead of the Holy Ghost. They look to sales methods of the world to win people to Christ instead of the Holy Ghost. They look to dramas and entertainers. And anything that the mind can think up in the multimedia department and everything that they can try to conjure up instead of the Holy Ghost. And the younger generation is pushing the older generation to change. I ain't changing. There's two methods, hear me now. There's two methods that have crept into our churches that Satan is using to destroy old time trust in the Holy Ghost. One is infiltration, and the second one is integration. Satan has infiltrated our churches, listen now, with many preachers that do not have any faith in the power of the Holy Ghost. They look like and act like the clone from the school that they came from, and in many cases it's a school that teaches nothing about old-time religion and being sensitive to the power of the Holy Ghost of God. Instead, they have been taught methods from men that believe in a method religion. Instead of the Holy Ghost, said a Holy Ghost religion. But may I say to you, dear friend, I'm more interested in a young man learning about old-time religion and following the leadership of the Holy Ghost than I am the academics of a school. Amen. And I say to you, not only has Satan infiltrated our churches, he has also brought in integration, meaning this. The New Testament church has mixed and mingled themselves with the dainties of the world and the liberal neo-evangelical methods of today's modern churches. Satan could not get Balaam to curse the children of Israel. But by the heart, Satan did get the children of Israel to integrate with those that they would have nothing to do with. And that's exactly what the church has done today. They learned it, friend, when they learned it from the world. The children of Israel learned it from the heathen. And then they brought that into their lives. They brought that into their homes. They brought that into their worship, if you would. And it destroyed the children of Israel. And the children of Israel, friend, they brought the heathen's methods in, their works in, their styles in, and all the things they did. And if the so-called fundamental Baptists don't quit bringing in the world's methods, it's going to destroy them. 2 Corinthians 6:17 said, "Wherefore come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Church, I don't know how to say everything right. And I understand maybe this is a little, I don't know, messed up and hard to understand. But it all boils down to this. We need His presence and His power His touch. I'll read you a couple of things and I'm done. Whoever's going to come to the piano can come. For 3 days, Edwards had not eaten a mouth of food. For 3 nights, he had not closed his eyes in sleep. Over and over again, he had been saying to God, "Give me New England. Give me New England." And when he arose from his knees and made his way into the pulpit, they said that it looked like he had been gazing straight into the face of God. And they said before he opened his lips to speak, conviction fell upon the audience. The Holy Ghost is more powerful. James Duncan preached with great unction and power, and he was asked, what was the secret of such powerful preaching? The secret, he said, was 13 hours of consecutive prayer. When asked the secret of his spiritual power, Charles Spurgeon said, knee work. Knee work. Livingston, on two different occasions, preached with such power that in each service, 500 people were converted. Both sermons were preceded by a night of prayer. Charles Finney, after spending a day in the woods in prayer and fasting, preached at night to a phenomenally irreligious congregation by such Holy Ghost power, they said the whole congregation, except one man, fell prostrate upon the floor and voiced their agony under conviction. The Holy Ghost is more powerful. Sis, you can play. It is quite well known how the congregation was deeply moved as Jonathan Edwards preached his sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. They said he had the manuscript held up so close to his face that they couldn't see his face. He went on reading until the people in that crowded church were moved almost beyond control. They said a man jumped up, rushed down the aisle and cried, "Mr. Edwards, have mercy!" Others caught hold of the back of pews for fear that they would slip off into the pit that very night. Most people thought that the day of judgment had dawned on them. When's the last time we saw that? I ain't satisfied with just coming to church and leaving. I want God here. I want to see the Holy Ghost of God work in the lives of our children. I want to see the Spirit of God work in my family, in your family, in the preacher when he preaches. I walk this place where there's nobody here because I'm parked here right now, and I'll find myself in here praying, God, fill the man of God. Preach him with power. Holy Ghost, bless our families. God, keep them right with God. Father, move upon us again. Ask you a question. When was the last time you felt the Holy Ghost in your heart? Like preacher preached this morning. Has he ever talked to you? Do you ever sense his presence? Do you even have a desire to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God? When you're saved, he lives in you. But does he control you? Does he use you? Are you filled with him? If not, why? Let's all stand. Father in heaven, we love you. Lord, I pray you take the message, use it for your honor and glory. God in heaven, the church needs the Holy Ghost. And how I pray that you'd fall on us, dear God. Father, I pray you'd fall on this church and stay. Work in our hearts. I pray our people would be soul winners. I pray that God, we would have a desire for God to use us, bless our families and our homes. May the Spirit of God do a great work in our hearts and lives. Father, I pray you'd rebuke the damnable devil. God, I pray he has no part in this church, these families, these services. And may the Holy Ghost of God do a great work here. Father, we need you. Oh, how we are yet carnal. May God's people get right with thee. Father, may mamas and daddies throw the sin out of their home. May our young people, dear God, get the filth out of their heart and out of their life. God, do a work here, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.